Hello, this is Sherry Emily.
Hello, this is Jenny.
Welcome to True Ghost Stories here on Life Omni Radio, www.lor.net. You are at the right place at the right time if you want to hear some amazing ghost stories and paranormal experiences. So grab yourself a drink, tuck yourselves in, and get comfortable. Get ready to face your fears. We are True Ghost Stories, and we are calling all ghosts. Come out, come out, come out of your homes. Come out wherever you may roam. Hello, listeners. Hello, chatters.
Welcome, listeners. Welcome, chatters.
Thank you all for being here with us. We here at True Ghost Stories would like to add a few things to our show. More questions, answers, stories, research, and even a little bit of music once in a while to soothe the soul. We would also like to have more callers, so don't be afraid to give us a call and ask a question or tell us your paranormal experiences. The only way the world is going to know the truth is if we share the truth. We are not alone. There are too many witnesses out there. So let us not be afraid to reveal it. I am Sherry Emily, founder, producer, host of True Ghost Stories, and I'm a witness.
We want you out there in the world to also become one of True Ghost Stories' witnesses, so don't be afraid to share with us. There are many people out there that you do not realize that have had some type of paranormal experience. They are in fear of sharing due to critique from society. Some make them feel like they are crazy or something is wrong with them. Well, we here at True Ghost Stories do not think like that. We are open-minded, we care, not only for the world, but the spiritual world too. Maybe through our journeys, we can help a soul cross over or figure out why they are here and what they want from us. We are True Ghost Stories, and we think outside of box. I am Jenny, producer and host of True Ghost Stories, and I too am a witness. If you have any questions for us or our guests, our phone line is open and you may call 508-717-8758.
And tonight, we have a very special guest in store for you, John C. Fowler, paranormal investigator and author. Well, hello, John. Welcome to True Ghost Stories.
Hey, how are you doing? And thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so glad that you're here with us tonight. And everybody is very interested to know who John C. Fowler is. So why don't we start with who you are, John? Why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Well, I've been investigating the paranormal. I don't know if I want to say investigating. Researching the paranormal as long as I can remember. I've been investigating since 2007. More efficiently, and not just, you know, the typical ghost hunting where you just go out, you know, as when you're younger, as I call it, and just see what happens, you know, more using equipment and trying to actually figure out what's out there.
Right.
And, you know, my life, I've always thought and had experiences. So I basically just wanted to see, you know, am I crazy or and there's more out there and I just want to see if I can prove it. You know, and it's a constant learning experience, which is what led me to forming the group in 2007, which is Midnight Watchman, and of course ParanormalDictionary.com about the same time.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Expo Paranormal Journey?
Yeah, Paranormal Journeys is something we started last year. Basically, my idea is there's tons of paranormal expos. We all know that. Your listeners know that. There's all kinds of ones from having famous people to just, you know, metaphysical. What separates Paranormal Journeys from them is we try to help a charity directly or a historic place. This year, for example, we're helping Grand Park, which is in Horsham, PA, which is a very beautiful place if you know what it is. And being state-funded, of course, you know, with the economy, they need some extra help. So that's what we're working on this year. Last year, we helped a soup kitchen in Lansdale, PA, again, near me, you know, raise some funds, as long as getting people, you know, that are enjoying the paranormal to come out and meet groups, you know, one-on-one. Because a lot of these events, you can't just meet groups one-on-one. You're paying for, you know, a celebrity or whatever. You can't just go up to a group and see what they do and ask and talk to them. And that's where ours is a little bit different.
What got you interested in the paranormal?
Well, when I was growing up, I mean, I watched shows all the time, like, you know, ancient. Wow, I cannot even speak tonight when I'm talking. In Search Of, and, you know, Unsolved Mysteries, and of course Ghostbusters was big when I was growing up, as well as finding some books that my dad had that were, you know, about unexplained mysteries. So you put that all together, and then and seeing some things with my, you know, at the trailer we used to live in, it made me really think, you know, there's a lot more out there, and my interest just was peaked and peaked and peaked, and it just never went away. I love seeing stories about history, whether it's, you know, real history or what people believe it to be, the mythology, and I think it's very interesting, and the paranormal on top of it is just like icing on the cake.
So what is your paranormal experience? You want to share that with us?
Well, growing up, me and my brother and even my mom had a lot of different experiences at the trailer. My grandmother passed away when I was young of cancer, and I'm backtracking a little bit here, but we all had experiences that we believe are attributed to her. For example, my mom believes that, you know, she heard her mom, which is my grandmother, call her name right before she got the phone call that she had passed from the hospital.
Oh, my.
And I know I heard when I was younger, when I was playing across the street, a woman's voice, calling me back saying, Johnny, if I went too far. And I thought it was my neighbor or my mom because, you know, as a kid, you push your boundaries. As my mom could probably attest, I've pushed many a boundaries in my years. But, coming back, it happened enough that it caught my interest. I thought my mom really wanted something. I asked her, why she was calling me, and she said she wasn't.
Wow.
So, and that's just on the simple end. And those type of experiences are just hard to explain, because it wasn't the neighbors, and if it wasn't my mom, who was it?
It probably was her. It may have been. I believe we all have some kind of protector with us, don't you?
Guardian angel, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I believe that.
And is that your only... Well, being a paranormal investigator, I'm sure that you've had quite a few paranormal and, encounters. Could you tell us what is the most haunted location you've ever investigated?
I don't know if we really can say the most haunted or the most active might be a better term. Or the most interesting is usually what I refer to it as, because I don't like using the term haunted too much. And I know on our website we have haunted or hype, as I kind of was calling it. I'm not too sure I really like that idea, because evidence is so subjective.
Right.
It's, I don't want to be a know-it-all, because I'm not. I mean, like I said, we all keep learning.
Yes, sir. But, now, you know what? That's why we're here, is because we want to learn, and that's why you're here, so you can teach us. So what would you call it other than haunted?
I'd say maybe active or even just interesting. It just depends. Like, there's times I might refer to it more as a haunted location, but it's a loose term. I would never want to say, I never would put a seal of approval saying, this place is definitely haunted, but right. I would definitely tell people about experiences at places. Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, for example, we investigated. And anybody who's been at Eastern State, especially at night, when there's just like the 10 of you and the two guides, it is very creepy. It's your stereotypical haunted house. You can't see, more than 20 feet down the hallways the cell blocks, because it's pitch black.
Yeah.
It has that vibe already before you even investigate. And of course, you're hearing weird noises to begin with that, you can't explain. And then you find out later that, there's a pigeon flying around. That's the noise you were hearing. But our EVPs and stuff we got there and some personal experiences made me really rethink things in a general way. Eastern State, you do not hear anything from the outside typically. And if you do, it's maybe a loud bass occasionally or possibly some music from an apartment building if it's really loud and up high. But you do not even know you're in the heart of Philadelphia otherwise.
What have you found there?
Well, what we have is my personal experience, which we don't have on audio. It didn't record for whatever reason on any of the recorders. Is in one of the cell blocks. I do not remember which one because they confuse me on the numbers, to be honest, with Eastern State. But sitting inside a cell block, doing an EVP session, I heard classical music really softly playing. Wow. And I mean something you'd hear like on a, as I'd say, an old school recording. It was just, very soft, Mozart or Beethoven or something on those, classical music. And it was enough that if you made any noise, you wouldn't hear it anymore. Even just shifting your body, you wouldn't hear it. That's how soft this was. So, just inside the cell block, mind you. And that cell, I mean. Not the cell block itself in the hallway, you heard nothing dead still.
Wow.
Just in that cell. another member of the team had heard it as well, but none of the audio picked it up. It's just interesting.
Have you ever been scared during an investigation or been concerned about your safety because of paranormal activity?
Yeah. Back in 2000, I want to say 8 or 9, we were at the Orphanage / Soldiers Museum in Gettysburg. And one of my members, John Bolton, decided to provoke Rosa, the headmistress there, and one of the head spirits, I guess you can say, that's at the property. And he did a pretty good job of it. And the whole time he was doing it, I felt like somebody was going to punch me. And I actually had the temperature drop around me where I felt it was ice cold around me, yet it was 70 degrees in the basement. Yet that's how it felt to me, but the temperature wasn't reading anything. And it's rare that I, you know, get that cold, let alone have that feeling like it's almost like somebody was walking up and like they wanted to hit me and they just didn't do it. And it was almost at the point where it's like you get to the point, either hit me or don't, you know. But that kind of freaked me out because it's the first time I ever had that type of experience directly for something I didn't even do. I wasn't even provoking, you know.
Well, maybe there was something about you they didn't want. Maybe they just didn't want you there. Is that possible?
It's possible. I've been told by a few sensitives, mediums, you know, whatever definition you want to use, that I have a very strong energy and that I can, I guess, push things away that are bad, I guess is the best way to put it. I'm not sure I believe that 100%, but...
That's possible. I mean, you may have very keen intuition as well, you know.
I do trust my gut instincts a lot, and you know,
have you ever gotten scared? Or she just asked you that. If you can only, if you can only take one piece of ghost hunting equipment on an investigation, what would it be and why?
I would probably just take an audio recorder, and that'd be it. Mostly just because it helps you track physically with you, especially if it's coming with you, the noises around you. That it's like a step back when you listen to it. Then that way, if I thought I heard a noise that came from, you know, the other room, the recorder at least can usually help verify, was it actually in that room or did it sound further away? Because, like, video evidence, typically, for me, we don't get anything in video worthwhile. And pictures, well, pretty much the same way. I mean, I've learned enough to debunk pretty much 99% of the pictures I've ever seen, so...
Have you ever received saw a picture or seen a picture, I should say, that you thought to be legit?
Not anymore. That's the best way I can put it. At one point I did, but then as I learned more about photography and digital photography over the last few years, I'm beginning to really understand how some of these pictures happen and how they are misinterpreted, basically.
Right.
And it's just a learning process. I always go back to that.
So say if I have a picture, which I think is actually legit, mm-hmm. and I showed it to you, would you think that I botched it, or would you consider it to be actually legit?
I think it would depend on what's in the picture, because that's... Like, if it's something like a long exposure shutter speed issue, because it's darker, that's just something I could tell you and say, hey, you know, next time you do this, you need to make sure you have a tripod and this or that. If it's something that's not that, and it's just... it's hard to think of examples on top of my head without seeing a picture to use as an example, but
right.
I would try to explain to you in a way that would make sense and how to correct it. And then if I couldn't explain it, that's, again, I'm not an end-all. I'm not a, you know, photography major. I'm not a photographer by trade, but at least I could give you some other ideas what it could be. And in the end of the day, I tell everybody, whatever you put out as evidence is what you put out as evidence. It doesn't matter what I say or anybody else. It's still what you want to, you know, you putting it out there to be. It's your decision at the end of the day.
What are your thoughts on orbs?
Probably 99% dust, moisture, bugs, etc. I do think there's probably less than 1% of orbs that are unexplainable, and I'd usually say they're visual ones, as in you physically see more than captured on film or video.
If you do not find anything on an investigation, does that mean that the place is not active?
No, not at all. I just think that means we didn't get anything that night. there's times I know I've been to places like out in Gettysburg where I know the group that came in the night before got some good stuff. The night after got good stuff. We got, well, nothing. And, well, that just happens sometimes. I mean, not every investigation is a hit, you know, with great evidence, and it never will be. I mean, if the paranormal was that easy, I don't think it would be considered paranormal anymore.
Do you think it's possible that maybe they know you're coming?
It's possible. I mean, if you believe that spirits can be intelligent and are intelligent, well, like if they don't like, for example, me for some reason and they don't want to interact with me, well, that would explain a lot. And if they like the other people better or they were newer and they wanted to get to know them, it may explain something. It's a lot of possibilities. It's hard to say. And without a long-term study of a location, you really don't know. And even then, you're not too sure because you can't sit a spirit down directly and ask, hey, why aren't you talking to me? And get a direct answer.
Do you,
most of the time.
Do you ever take guests on your investigations?
Typically not. If I know someone who's in the field, I've invited people out, but we usually don't just invite or bring anybody. We have done public investigations before, you know, where people pay to come out, and that's a little different, but usually it's just my team and then whoever the representative of the location is, whether it's a private home or a business, and that's it.
Where's one place that you haven't investigated that you would like to?
Probably for me, it would be Pennhurst near me here, because I've never done a complex that big, number one, and there's a lot of history there that's just fascinating, to say the least, besides the alleged paranormal activity.
Why do some paranormal investigators don't post or share all the evidence that they find on investigations?
Well, I would think because either one, they don't want to be questioned, or two, they don't want to be I am so tongue-tied in it. I'm sorry.
That's okay, honey. You're doing great.
Thank you. It's like I said, they don't want to be questioned over their evidence, one, or two, they've been attacked before what they view as an attack on their evidence, so they don't like to share it. And then on the third end, I've actually known some people that just don't share it, period, because they don't want to deal with any of that, so they just don't share it. But it just depends on the group. I believe that if you think you have something and you put it out there, it's worth having to be put out there. And if you don't, it doesn't mean you're not knowledgeable, but then again, you're not really helping anybody learn anything either, and you're not learning, because if you put something out there that's like a picture that, like I said, I could explain through long exposure, you're not learning anything either, so you're not really helping the paranormal community, you know, learn at all either. So it is a two-way road there. It just depends on what people want to do.
Exactly. Jenny?
Do you usually investigate every case that's reported to you?
Not every case. I've turned down a few because something doesn't feel right, or the information isn't correct, or, you know, we try to contact them again to get the next piece to take the next step, and then they just decide that they don't want to deal with me anymore or whatever. And it happens. I mean, there's sometimes just places like someone will contact you, it sounds great, but then for whatever reason, they don't want you to come out. And there's nothing I can do about that. You just continue to move on and do what you're doing.
Well, there's some people that want to remain, you know, private anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, whose ghost would you most like to have a conversation with, and why?
I don't think I've ever been asked that question before.
We love these ones coming up next.
I love random questions. Who would I want to talk to the most? I think George Washington would be very interesting for a multitude of reasons. Not just the time period difference, but perspective. I mean, that generation, to say the least, isn't like us in a lot of ways. I think it'd be interesting to have a conversation to really understand that better instead of what just history tells you.
Right. I would like to talk to him. That'd be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Probably learn a lot.
I'd like to talk to Abe Lincoln.
I want to talk to Elvis Presley.
I think a lot of people would want to talk to him. Who do you admire and respect in the field of paranormal studies, and why?
Well, over the last couple of years, I've met a lot of different investigators, some more famous than others, some that have been on TV, some that haven't. And I don't know if there's one in particular that I look up to. I tend to look around and go, okay, what's this person doing right that's working? And then seeing, is that something that is that something I can do differently? And if it is, I'll try it and see how it works and go from there. I don't know for sure if there's one person, and I don't know if I could even name just one person that's, you know, I'd look up to, because there's so many that I've, you know, read about, met, and, you know, built how I investigate from. It's just not a simple question to answer for me.
Okay. Well, where do you see paranormal investigation in the next 10 years, scientifically or in any way? Where do you, how far do you think it will go?
Well, I always think there'll be some form of paranormal investigation, no matter what happens, to be honest. I mean, if tomorrow we prove that ghosts are real, you know, scientifically, obviously that would open a whole new door for that science-wise. Right now, we're kind of just testing a lot of things out, a lot of ideas, trying to make some theories out and see where it goes. And I mean, some of us are doing it better than others, but that's just like any science thing, you know, not everybody's going to do it right or the same. And that's kind of what makes the world go around here.
That's a good answer.
Now, our favorite question. If you had the opportunity to stick around after you die, would you, and who would you haunt?
Well, I think I would definitely stick around if I could, to see the world, I guess, a little bit different way. As for who would I haunt, I would have to think I'd have to have fun with some paranormal groups in general. just because, especially some of the newer ones that don't really, I don't want to say don't know anything. That's probably that sounds worse than I mean it to be. They haven't learned as much yet.
Exactly.
It'd be interesting to see the reactions and then kind of, you know, think about your own, you know, experiences too and go, did I do the same thing there? You know?
It's such a good question. What one piece of advice would you give to someone who is new to paranormal investigating?
Well, always learn, and especially the equipment you use, because I know over the years there's so many pieces of equipment that are out there that people don't even understand really why they're used, like the idea behind it, let alone what they do, don't do, and what they do good, what they don't do good, and all that comes into it to understand what's happening when a piece of equipment, you know, is used or goes off. If you don't understand it, you probably shouldn't be using it. And that's the biggest thing, I think it is. Continue to learn everything you can about everything you use and are trying to do. And that even goes back to people like Harry Houdini, who was, you know, debunking stuff long before, you know, debunking was such a big word in the paranormal community. You know, it's, you have to pretty much learn a little bit of everything to move forward.
If someone was thinking of starting their own team, what advice would you give them?
Well, if you've already investigated and you know what you're doing to a point, I'd say go for it. If you have never investigated, I'd recommend trying to join up with a local team or at least work with some other teams that you or people to learn more before just starting a team, because there's so many roadblocks that people don't realize, you know, pop up. And I'd hate to see some people that are very talented and motivated get worn down before they even get a chance to get moving, paranormal-wise.
Do you think paranormal investigators should charge for their services?
I would say they shouldn't charge. I mean, especially if you want to help people and you want to learn things. I mean, it's one thing if somebody goes, like I'm in PA on the East Coast, somebody goes, we want you to come out to California. And you go, hey, can you help with the, you know, cost of us coming out? I'm okay with that discussion as long as you're upfront about it. As for charging flat out just to go to a place like a private home for a team to come out, I'm against that. I think if you want to help people, you shouldn't be charging.
Do you think it's wise to bring a a psychic or a medium with you on an investigation?
I think it comes down to how much you trust the psychic or medium. I'm very tough on psychics and mediums typically, but I've known a few that I have talked to and dealt with, but overall, I just do not trust psychics and mediums just because, well, it's unverifiable, which is kind of funny considering that a lot of what we do as investigators is, again, unverifiable. It's interesting, but it's... I've never really met one that's blown me away to the point where I have to involve them in everything I do.
Have you, though?
I've talked... Well, on an actual investigation, no, I've never had a psychic or medium out. I mean, a couple people I've had on my team over the years have been sensitives.
Right.
And, you know, we add that into the mix of stuff that they pick up, whether we can verify it or not, is a whole nother story.
Do you have any questions, Jenny?
If you could return to a site that you've investigated, which one would it be and why?
What was that? I'm sorry?
If you could return to a site that you've investigated, which one would it be and why?
Well, I'd like to go back to Eastern State in Philly again just to try some more things out and some different things. Because I know when the first time we were there, I think we were only investigating for almost 6 months at that point. And, you know, 4 years later, 5 years later, I've learned so much more. I'd love to go back and just try some things differently and see if we can actually get some different results or repeat some of the ones we had before.
Now, can you explain to us what some of the different types of mechanical machines that most paranormal investigators use?
Well, I would think most investigators use some kind of audio recorder, whether it's digital or analog, depending on how long they've been in the field. And, well, yeah, obviously most people use a digital camera. Some people have the K2 meters. Some people have the MEL meter since they're newer now. Standard EMF meter, tri-field. I mean, it just depends on the groups. I mean, some teams have like all the toys out the wazoo, and other ones they're just basics. I just think it depends on the team, you know, and how they want to start out, because right. It can be an expensive hobby to say the least.
Oh, of course, I've been looking at some of the equipment. Some of it's outrageous.
Definitely. I only have a MEL meter myself because I got it on sale from the Ghost Hunter store. That is the only reason I have one. Though I love them, it's just a little bit overcost, I think, for me. But
now, I have a question that I just thought of, and Jenny probably hasn't even heard me ask this, but I want to ask you anyway. Where are spirits most active in what season?
I think it would just depend on the spirit. I mean, the idea that I would think they'd be more active towards things that mean something to them, so that would be really subjective just to the spirit. I mean, I don't know if there's actually an answer to that that's, you know, easy.
Any questions, Jenny?
If someone believed they had activity in their home, what advice would you give them? Or what kind of message would you give them?
Well, number one, not to be scared of it. And I'm also assuming that the activity they're having isn't scaring them necessarily as much as it's just noticed and being, you know, bothersome to them. But as long as it's not scaring them, I would say just, you know, accept that it's there. And what I tell clients to do a lot is take control of your home. And what I mean by that is I tell people to basically just, like, if you feel like there's something standing behind you always, as an example, you would just say, knock it off. I know you're there. Stop bothering me. Forcefully. You do that enough, two things happen. If there really is a spirit and it's intelligent, it'll stop bothering you or at least back off. And if it's not, psychologically at least, you're putting yourself in control of that state of emotion. That's the way I've always looked at it, and it works for me and a lot of people I've had do that. Again, is it for everybody? I don't know.
What are your thoughts on bringing in a priest to an investigation?
Well, if on a private case, if somebody wants their home blessed or a priest there, I'm not against it. Generally, I've never ran into a case that I really needed it. That's just me.
what are your thoughts on demonology?
Again, I've never encountered that. I've dealt with some pissed off spirits, but never to the point where I'd think that, you know, you'd need a demonologist coming in, you know, to solve the problem. And like a lot of those specialties, the demonologist really just means studying of demons.
Right.
So, I know there's more to it than just that, but to me, it's kind of like the parapsychology label that you see floating around the internet in different groups. It's just a different subgenre that paranormal investigators maybe focus on more. And I'm sure somebody would tell me differently that's actually a priest or a demonologist, but that's just the way I view it.
Right. Jenny, you have more questions?
What are your thoughts on vampires?
Well, I think, generally speaking, that it's definitely a modern invention. I mean, even though going back hundreds of years and probably more, there's always been the, you know, stories and myths of these things, and then it gets attributed to, you know, vampirism. But I don't think they're real, as the movies show anyway. I just think that there's just a lot of different history mixed together and told and retold, whispered down the lane.
Well, do you think angels and demons are real?
I don't see why they wouldn't be, to be honest. I think there's other planes of existence, so to have angels and demons be somewhere in there, whether they're literally the biblical interpretation of that, that's right. Up for debate, but I believe the idea that there's other entities on different planes of existences is definitely possible.
Do you think an orb could be like an angel or a guardian rather than a spirit?
It's possible. Again, I don't see why not, because in the realm of possibility, most things are possible. And if it is from a different plane of existence, for example, it may not manifest or show itself in a human form. It might be more of a energy form, which a ball would make sense, or an orb would make more sense in that level of thought process.
What are your thoughts on people's auras and colors? Do you believe in that?
Well, to a point, again, I think it comes back to, like I was saying earlier, about people said I have a certain energy to me and how I do things. I believe the auras and all that could be just another form of that energy being either seen or visualized. Basically, it's the same idea that, you know, we all have our own essence,
right.
And that's how it shows up.
Do you think that we're all spiritually connected?
It wouldn't surprise me any. I know in my life there tends to be patterns that seem to happen that, you know, the type of people I meet, when I meet them, and it's always stuff that's outside of my control. Like, there's no way I could, you know, not run into these people. And I think that's interesting, because that's almost like that grand design. It's not something as simple as, you know, it's free will, but it's not
right.
Written in stone either. It's like somewhere in between that, you
right.
know, the gentle nudges, if you will.
Right. What are your thoughts on UFO and the second, third, and fourth dimensions? Do you believe in that kind of stuff?
I believe so. I believe the universe is way too big to be just us. Otherwise, as I believe it was Carl Sagan said, it would be a tremendous waste of space.
That's a pretty great answer. I don't even know what to say to that.
That is probably one of my favorite quotes ever.
Well, you know, that was probably one of the greatest answers we've had. What do you think, Jenny?
That is.
You got any more questions before we get to know him a little bit more and we stop questioning him?
I can't think of one right now, but I'm going to be thinking about some.
But I do have one more, if you don't mind. Do you know what an imp is? And if you do, can you explain what it is?
An imp?
Yes, sir.
I kind of know what it is, but I guess it depends on which. There's sometimes just different. And that's the other reason Paranormal Dictionary was started, is because there's times I know that people have two definitions well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Two different words for the same definition, and they end up arguing over the word because they never asked each other the definition of the word. Yet they're actually agreeing. So I kind of know what an imp is, but I couldn't, off the top of my head, you know, define it for you.
Well, I'm just going to have to go look at your dictionary is what I'm going to have to do.
And if it's not there, I'll have to add it. That's the truth. That's always up and running. Actually, that's the one thing we're working on right now is taking some of the spam out. And I'm actually starting early processes right now of setting up a committee that is going to help not just capture spam that comes in from, like, the web bots and that stuff, but
right.
also, you know, promoting it a little bit more. I mean, the site in this first year or 2 years had 1 million views. And
wow.
that's pretty impressive. I mean, even for me to even say that, it's amazing. Because all my other websites, which I have many for different projects, I don't even think have over 100,000 views total, let alone one that has over 1 million.
That is like phenomenal. You want to put in True Ghost Stories in that dictionary?
It would fit. I mean, the idea is honestly...
I'm serious. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the idea was anything paranormal would be in there. And that includes also stuff like... Well, honestly, even like Ghostbusters would be mentioned in it because it's paranormal. It's supposed to be a true dictionary, which means everything and anything from, you know, people, places, radio, TV, movies, then obviously the terms as well, you know, like orb and imp and
That's
yada yada.
Amazing. How long have you been working on that?
I've had the .com since I think 08 or 09, but it's only been the last two or three years it's been in the current format, which is more like Wikipedia. We also just added a reference ability, which helps actually to link back to, you know, so people can prove some of the stuff that they are saying on there, which is a big piece I was looking for, which is the other reason for the committee, too, to help make sure that this stays, you know, fact-based and not just somebody coming in and saying, you know, oh, I've been doing this for 30 years and, you know, yada, yada.
Now, if I present you with a photo that I believe that has true paranormal activity in it, would you look at it for me?
Sure. I'll look at anything anyone sends me. I can't guarantee I'll give you an answer that you'll like, but,
right.
You know, I'll take a look at it.
Okay. I'm thinking about that one I just posted on True Ghost Stories, Jenny.
Yeah.
The one in my grandfather's front yard.
Yeah.
There's some paranormal activities going on at my grandfather's abandoned house. It's been abandoned since 2006. And there was paranormal activity going on there when I was living there. So, and we went and did a little bit of documentary research the other day, and we're going to try and do some filming, but the photos that I have and some of the photos that Jenny took have, it looks like we have some pretty major stuff inside of it. So it would be kind of cool if you wouldn't mind, if you wouldn't take a look at it for us.
I will always take a look at stuff. And also, I know enough people, you know, if I can't understand it, I can send it to somebody else and they can look at it and get me more info or get me the questions I need to ask, like you, about it.
Right. Well,
but it's all good, though. That's why I always say, no matter what, you know, I say or somebody else says, if you still want to believe that there's something there, that's still on you, you know?
Correct. Oh, of course. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's nothing there, there's nothing there, you know, but... From what we're seeing, it possibly could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's as long as you're open-minded. I mean, most teams I've met are open-minded, and that's where the discussion comes in about, you know, their evidence or data or whatever term they want to use about what they're putting out there. As long as you can discuss it, you're fine. I've ran into some teams that they put it out there, it's paranormal, and you can't tell them differently. And I'll admit I probably was that way too when I started, but I've learned a lot, and I've also learned to let go a little bit, you know. You're not going to get everything, and if someone can explain it, well, great. Now you've learned something.
Right. Well, I appreciate your honesty. I really do. And if it's not, then it's not. You know, I put it out there, you know, do you see what I see? You know, what do you see what Sherry sees? And everybody that has seen the photo says they see something. and it's really amazing, and I wish I could show it right here on True Ghost Stories tonight, but I don't have that video on here yet. We will soon, but if anybody wants to see it, they can go to True Ghost Stories and look at it. It's a pretty amazing photo, and I'd definitely like for you to check it out, and I appreciate it very much.
No way. Anytime. I always tell people, don't be afraid to send me something, and like I said before, it's just a matter of what, you know,
right,
we think it is. That's
right. And you know, and that's what Paranormal Unity is all about.
That's one facet of it. Yeah, I mean, that's also a whole other debate too, obviously. Some people don't like it, some people like it.
Well,
and
I
I'll
like
be
it.
Honest, it's not even on the dictionary site, because I don't even know how to define it in a way that makes sense, because there's so many views on the definition of that.
Really?
And at least from the groups I know, and it's interesting because you have the people that just don't like Unity because there's something they saw, and then the other ends, you know, that the original idea of it, people working together is great. It's just interesting to me that you have so many different views for something that probably should be a simple term. It just didn't seem to end up be that way for how it's viewed.
Well, see, I think differently. I think that we all should come together, and because we all have the same common goal. You know, we want to find out what the truth is, and we're all seeking the truth. So why not come together and work together to find the truth, you know, like scientists do with all their research?
Well, that's why I think it's funny that I just think they hate the term, some of these people. I don't think it's the idea isn't the problem. It's just for some reason the term has a bad taste in their mouth. I don't know why. It's probably just an experience they had with another team. But it's interesting. That's all I can...
What the hell? Hello?
Yeah, you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Jenny, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I lost connection.
Okay, well, somebody tried to call in, or somebody is calling in. Is somebody here with us? Someone at... Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. We had a call coming in, but it didn't go through, and I guess it stopped all of us. I sincerely apologize about that. That was weird. Huh. Well, I guess they're not calling back. So let's continue on what we were talking about.
And I'm not sure what I was saying either before it cut out, so... It happens. I mean, that's the beauty of technology, too,
sometimes.
That's
right. We were talking about paranormal unity. Mm-hmm. But I know how some paranormal investigators are, and they're kind of competitive and selfish and whatnot, but I just don't agree with that, and that's just my own opinion.
Well, so, you know what I'm enjoying right now watching the paranormal community, which I didn't notice when I started?
What's that?
Is... some of the people that investigate that are hardcore skeptics to the point you're not really sure why they're investigating, because they don't believe anything. And I mean that in a good way, mind you. I'm not saying anything wrong about it. But it's interesting, because a lot of the people that I met, especially first starting out, had experiences and wanted to either prove it or see what it really was, you know, whatever version they want to, whether it was scientifically, just spiritually, you know, whatever. I've been noticing more of an influx of the pure skeptics investigating the paranormal, but you really don't know why they're investigating it. They're not, and they're good people. They're knowledgeable. They work in the field. It's just an interesting dynamic that I saw change for me. And I really don't know, obviously, everyone in the paranormal, but I think that's, again, interesting.
That is, actually, because they're not supposed to believe in anything. You know, I know exactly what you're saying, but yet the paranormal is so intriguing, and there's so many people that do believe and then have experiences. How can we all be going nuts? You know what I'm saying? How can we all be going we can't be crazy. I mean, or maybe it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. Maybe we're all connected and spiritually in some way, and when we do pass on, that connection is still there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You do? Oh, that's so good. Jen, do you have any questions before we ask him how to, everybody can reach him?
What is a ghost and why is it different from a soul, in your opinion?
In my opinion, there is no difference. And that's... my view has always been the soul spirit is the same idea to me. I know a lot of people don't agree with me on that, but, you know, you even religiously talking, then when the spirit leaves the body or the soul leaves the body, I can't imagine it would twist over to something different. You still there?
And I absolutely agree with you.
Okay.
I feel the same as you. I think it's the same thing. I think that the spirit and the soul and a ghost are pretty much the same thing, unless it's something demon, you know. You know, something that's not natural. But anyway, how does everybody reach you?
Well, basically, Paranormal Dictionary is one way to keep up on, you know, what I'm doing or the group, my group, which is Midnight Watchmen. So you have ParanormalDictionary.com is obviously the dictionary site we were talking about for paranormal, and then MidnightWatchman.com is my paranormal group, which also has a link to Paranormal Journeys, the expo off, which is September 27th. That's coming up real soon here, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we're actually having a public ghost hunt later that night with the ghost detectives as well. Available tickets are online at awesome. MidnightWatchman.com.
Awesome. I wish I could be there. I'm going to be in California, though. But I'm not giving up California, so.
Yeah, we're still looking for some different vendors, paranormal or otherwise, for the event. The forums are on the website, so.
Oh, that's great.
If anybody's interested, just all the information is right there from Paranormal Journeys on themidnightwatchman.com.
And we thank you very much, John, for being here with us tonight. This is John C. Fowler here on True Ghost Stories. Here on WLOR.net, www.WLOR.net. And John, we thank you very, very much for being here with us tonight and answering all our crazy questions and being as honest as possible. We thoroughly enjoyed having you.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, John. Jenny, you want to say goodnight?
Have a good night, John.
Good night.
Good night, honey, and I will send this to you later.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thank you for calling. Right. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
And if anybody would like to visit True Ghost Stories on Facebook.com, you could go www.facebook.com/TrueGhostStories2013. You could go there and check out some of the paranormal funnies we have and some ghost stories that we have, YouTube videos, all kinds of things that are shared on there. And you get to know a lot of people. This is a pretty active and heavy group, and I think you will enjoy it if you give us a stop by. What do you think, Jenny?
I do. I think everybody will enjoy it.
Yeah, me too. So, we're about ready to end. Do you ever feel like you're not alone?
Do you ever feel like someone or something is near you?
Have you felt touched where something has brushed up against you? Do you hear voices?
Do you have vivid dreams of dead loved ones? Do you see shadow people?
Who are they? What
are they? An angel? Or a demon?
Or just someone reaching out? We believe someone or something is reaching out. We want to tell the world the truth. Our experiences are not a figment of our imagination. There are things that walk the earth that is unknown to us. We want to find out what it is. We want to share it with all of you, and so do they. We want to tell our stories and their stories. We are True Ghost Stories.
Tune in next Monday night. We have a great guest in store for you. Listen to the horrifically talented duo of
Sherry Emily
and myself, Jenny, right here on Life Omni Radio, www.wlor.net, for a frightfully entertaining hour of the best true ghost stories ever heard. Until then, happy ghost hunting.
Happy ghost hunting.
Very troubled soul, wondering when the end will come. Will he get it so? Sitting there in silence, he knows the end is near. Felt the raven's threatening cry, the way is very clear. Did he take the easy path down this road of life? Done his share of losing faith, but nothing else looked right. Time it catches up with you, if only in your dreams. Wake up with a coin in hand and hear the raven scream. In the shadows of the night, you can run, you can hide. In the shadows of the night, you can do, you can lose your life. Somewhere in another place, so many miles apart, he runs away from what's to come and cries out with his heart. Following that highway, not sure of where to go, looking up ahead of him, he sees the joining road. He doesn't see the stop sign there, no time to turn away. The raven's perched up on that wreck, yeah, I warn you of this day. In the shadows of the night, you can run, you can hide. In the shadows of the night, there's no time, no, no time. You can hide. The road is near. Tell me, what do you fear? Oh.